Chapter 25. Jin sagged in her seat, relief washing over her. She'd escaped. She turned to the pilot. She wanted to ask his name, thank him for flying. But he stared straight ahead, his spine stiff, tear tracks tracing through the grime and soot on his face. They had escaped, but he had lost his home, his family, everything he loved. There was nothing she could say to that. Jin curled her legs up, drawing her knees to her chin as she mimicked the pilot and stared out at the blue-gray of hyperspace. Nothing but silence between them as they traveled through the stars. They emerged from hyperspace sooner than Jin would have expected. A small planet with a lone, barren moon hung before them. "Where are we?" Jin asked. "I don't ever want to do that again," the pilot said in a soft voice.
"Do what?"
"Abandon everyone else just so I can live. We could have saved more," the pilot said, still staring straight ahead. "We could have saved someone other than ourselves." Guilt enshrouded the pilot. It sank into his skin. It pulled at his bones. Jin could feel the same sorrow reaching for her. It filled her lungs like smoke. It made her blood heavy and slow. She closed her eyes, pushing the smell of fire and the sounds of desperate screaming away from her thoughts. If there was one thing she'd learned in her 16 years of life, it was that she couldn't afford to think in regrets. "The Empire will know by now that my codes were forged," she said in a calm, matter-of-fact voice. "They will likely try to locate the ship. We need to land, and we need to leave it behind."
"I know some junkers," the pilot said.
Jin raised her eyebrows in surprise.
"I'd been planning to escape," he added. "I'd already set up a whole network of contacts so I could disappear. I just never..."
He blew out his breath.
"I never thought it'd be like this."
Jin nodded in agreement. It was a good plan. Land the ship and let it be dismantled for parts. Impossible to trace. The pilot used the ship's comms system to set it up, then veered out of orbit and toward a landing station. It all happened surprisingly quickly. The pilot landed the ship. The junkers offered him credits for it. There were no negotiations. The pilot handed Jin half the credits as her share, and then the junkers offered them a ride on their cargo transport into the main town. And that was it. When the cargo transport stopped in the center of the dusty little town, the pilot said goodbye and walked off. Jin got out with her bag of gear, and the transport zoomed away. She didn't even know the name of the planet she was on. The town was small, without much in the way of homes. A cantina, a few buildings, a tiny spaceport. The landscape was flat, with little more than scrub brush. And although the big yellow sun beat down on her, the air was chilly. Inside the cantina, Jin knew she could purchase time on a comm. She could reach out to Saw. Maybe he was looking for her. She shook her head. No. Either he hadn't survived his wounds, a distinct possibility, or he had never intended to come back for her. There was no middle ground. There never was with Saw. Jin rubbed her arms and made her way to the spaceport.
"What you want?"
Alanic said, looking up at Jin as she approached. She looked behind him. Three ships were docked. A freighter, a cargo-class transport system, and a personal cruiser that had seen better days.
"Anyone looking for passengers?" Jin asked.
"No one needs a mutt hanging around," the Alanic growled.
He scratched one of his impossibly large long ears, and the metal hoops piercing the cartilage jingled.
"I can pay," Jin protested.
"Pay," he sneered.
Behind him, a woman was using mag lifts to load crates into the freighter.
"Hey,
Jin called, ignoring the protests of the Lanik. You need any help? The woman leaned back, pressing a hand into her lumbar. She looked Jin up and down, but she kept her face impassive. She was human, with dark brown skin and black hair and eyes that Jin hoped were kind. You looking for a job? The woman called back. The Lanik spit his disgust at Jin and walked away, mumbling about vagabonds and thieves. Yeah, Jin said, jogging up to the woman. Got a job for me? I'm not sticking around, she said. Suits me. Aren't you a little young to be flying? She said, frowning. Old enough, Jin shot back. You don't mind leaving the planet? Jin laughed mirthlessly. Why would I stay? You don't even care where you're going? Nope. Jin stuck her hands in her pockets. The woman leaned back on her heels. Can you fix a broken droid? She asked. Absolutely, Jin lied. The woman stuck her hand out. Name's Akshaya Panta, she said. Jin said immediately. She was tired. She knew better than to give her real name. Jin Don. Akshaya gestured to the SC-3000 freighter behind her. Someone had hand-painted the ship's call sign on the hull. Panta 1. Welcome aboard, she said. Jin helped Akshaya finish loading up the ship. She was surprised to see that the crates were filled with ore. This hadn't looked like a mining planet. I ship for the little guys, Akshaya said. Small operations, usually family-owned, not the corporate or government stuff. Akshaya took Jin to a common area in the heart of the freighter. A small table was bolted to the floor, and there was a bowl of Meluron fruit in the center. Jin stared at it, hunger and exhaustion sweeping over her. She let her pack drop to the floor. What's that? Akshaya asked. Jin looked down to where she was pointing. Her pack had opened slightly, and the blaster Saw had given her on Tamsi Prime peeked through the top of the bag. That can't be on this ship, Akshaya said firmly. You won't see it again, Jin promised, picking the pack back up and closing the top. Akshaya shook her head. No. Give it to me. I'll get rid of it. Jin stared at her with wide eyes. Look, I appreciate the ride off this rock, she said. But a blaster is a tool, and I intend to use it in the future. You can't just get rid of it. Anger flashed in Akshaya's eyes, but it melted away quickly. I don't really know who you are or where you've come from, she said in a gentle voice. But I don't live like that, with the need to be armed just to feel safe. It's not... Jin started. Akshaya was already shaking her head. No weapons, she said again. I'm a peaceful operation. I don't get involved with violence. School, the planet where I'm based, is neutral. You want to join my operation? You follow my rules. She crossed her arms and waited for Jin's reply. You need to make a choice, Akshaya said, her tone growing louder. Choose a peaceful life with my unit, or go back to a life where you need a blaster. Jin weighed her options quickly. Finally, with a sigh, she handed over the blaster. She had enough credits, she knew, to purchase another one. A better one. It was more important that she get off-world than that she keep her blaster. Thank you, Akshaya said, taking it. There's a spare bunk down there, she added, pointing. Help yourself to some grub and rest up. The droid can wait. When you're ready, the pieces are there. She pointed to a small door off the hallway. I'm going to take care of this, she said, hefting the blaster in her hand and walking off the ship. Jin gratefully sank into a seat by the table as Akshaya left. No need to tell her about the knife in my boot, she thought, as she sucked the pulp from the skins of the fruit. She'd eaten three before Akshaya came back. After the jump to hyperspace, Jin made her way to the bunk Akshaya had offered and sank onto the bare mattress with such bone-weary relief that she fell asleep immediately.
Bang! Jin startled awake, scrambling up. Her stomach churned with fear and disorientation before she was able to remind herself where she was and how she'd gotten there.
Saw had left her. The planet had burned. She was on a ship.
Another bang rattled through the metal of the SC-3000, and Jin forced her aching body up. She stumbled blearily through the hall and saw Akshaya signing off on a second load of cargo.
Jin had slept the entire time they were in hyperspace, through the landing, and even through the new cargo being loaded into the main bay.
"Sorry," she said sheepishly.
"Don't apologize," Akshaya said with a friendly smile. "You clearly needed a rest. That it?" she asked the droid with the cargo. It beeped its assent and left the ship. "I mostly do little hops from system to system," Akshaya said, heading back to the cockpit. Jin followed her. "I like it, getting to see the different worlds, meeting the people. Always a friend on each world."
"Sounds nice," Jin said absently.
"Keeps me up to date with the news, too," Akshaya said. She settled into the pilot's seat and waited for Jin to strap into the co-pilot chair. She launched the ship, and Jin got a glimpse of the planet, green and lush, with an exposed quarry off to the side, before they broke atmosphere. "For example," Akshaya continued, "today I dropped in the diner before picking up my cargo, and I heard about a planet that had experienced some trouble." Ice water washed down Jin's spine. She didn't say anything. "Little rock of a world, mostly used for factories, named Tamsi Prime. Looks like some sort of tragedy happened. Factories are all gone. Not much left there at all," Akshaya said, keeping her eyes straight ahead. She glanced at Jin, worry evident on her face. Jin had been right about Akshaya's kind eyes.
"Seems to me," Akshaya said, "someone from a planet like that may not know where to go or what to do."
Akshaya punched in the next coordinates, and the ship jumped to light speed. Jin released the safety harness of her chair and stood.
"I guess I should get to work on that broken droid," she said, avoiding Akshaya's eyes.
She didn't know what to do with her pity or concern. Akshaya didn't follow her as she went back down the hall. Jin opened the door to the little closet where Akshaya had said the droid was. It was a small astromech unit, an older class, more outdated than some of the junk Jin used to spar with on Saw's outpost. She pulled the motivator out, then found a bag of bits and pieces that had broken off and spread them out on the table.
"I have no idea what I'm doing," she thought, staring down at the parts.
She could tinker with her code replicator all day, finding the patterns and pulling at the algorithms. But with something mechanical like this, she was utterly lost. Still, she gave it a go. She knew enough about how to destroy a droid to guess at how one should look when it wasn't broken. But the internal mechanisms were far more complicated than she'd thought. She'd been working for about an hour when they emerged from hyperspace. Jin made her way back up front to the cockpit.
"An Imperial checkpoint," Akshaya said, sighing heavily. "More and more of them these days." "Are your docks in order?" Jin asked urgently.
Akshaya hesitated.
"I may be behind on my cargo license," she said. "Which means an inspection and a fine."
She sounded defeated. Jin ran back to her bunk, grabbed the code replicator out of her bag, and ran back to the ship's main console. She plopped on the floor, quickly working as an alarm started ringing throughout the ship. A warning blared over the main screen.
Imperial transport code violation.
Jin had done this sort of thing for Saw enough times to know she had only moments to spare. The Empire would run an initial scan at a checkpoint, and those usually triggered alarms. They'd run a deeper scan in a few minutes. If Jin could forge proper codes between then and now, the Imperial officers would likely not bother to physically check the ship. She tapped on the datapad hooked into the ship's core as quickly as possible, uploading the authenticator code generator into the processor. She marked the permission for the cargo as home crafts. There was a market in the core worlds for genuine crafts from smaller outer rim planets. And that would both explain the ship's log visiting a half dozen different planets and make the cargo completely uninteresting to any Imperial inspectors. The alarm cut off abruptly, and a new code flashed through the ship's receptors.
Imperial transport code approved.
Akshaya, startled, quickly resumed her seat in the pilot's chair and set the ship on course toward the planet. She kept shooting Jin curious looks. When they landed, rather than get to work, Akshaya put her hand over Jin's, keeping her in the chair. "How did you learn to do that?" she asked. Jin shrugged. "No," Akshaya said, her voice firm. "You're on my ship. I expect honesty. Did you come from Tamsi Prime?" Jin swallowed. "Yes," she said. "Were you born there?" "No," Jin said. I was raised on another planet." "By your parents?" "No," Jin said in a soft voice. "You're a bit of a wanderer, aren't you?" Akshaya said, her eyes crinkled at the corners, and she reached over to smooth down Jin's hair. It was such a motherly action that Jin couldn't help leaning into the touch. "It's not safe for you," Akshaya chided. "Just bouncing around from planet to planet. When we get back to school, you can stay with me for a bit, okay? Get back on your feet properly." Akshaya stood, clapping her hands, ready to get back to work. Jin said.
"Yes?"
If we're being honest, then I'd better add that I have no idea how to fix your droid."
Akshaya laughed.
"Don't worry," she said. "With that little trick, you've already paid for your passage."
Jin allowed herself a tiny smile of relief, then followed Akshaya off the ship.